I asked the pastor to read from 2 Samuel chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles open to there, 2 Samuel chapter 11.
You. All right. I think I've flipped the buttons. All you had to do from the back is say, turn your mic on, and I got it. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 11. The pastor's already read this portion of scripture that is the basis for the message for this hour. If the rapture were to take place at this moment, would you be satisfied with your life since trusting Jesus as your Savior if you are saved? If you are saved, immediately you're caught up. If you're lost, you'll look around and say, what am I sitting here for? Where do those people go? That's the way it's going to happen. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So if the rapture were to take place right now, would you be satisfied with your spiritual accomplishments through the years since you've trusted Christ as Savior? If you are saved, if you're not saved, you need to trust the Lord now. You don't wait for the invitation. The invitation is a continuous one. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You come to Jesus, and there's eternal rest there in Him. I want you to notice three things about our text, and we will follow through with those three things in other scriptures this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 11, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. There was a time when kings go forth to battle. I want you to notice the next phrase down at the bottom of verse 1, but David tarried. So we see the time involved here that David tarried. That means he was supposed to lead the battle, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do as king. And it came to pass in an eventide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So I want you to notice that Jesus tarried, or David tarried. I want you to notice the time. And then down in verse number 4, and David sent messengers and took. It seems like Satan has a plan to cause us to fail. And he uses these same things. When we have extra time on our hands, and then we think of those things, and then we participate. Let me do an illustration like this. Let's say that whatever your sin is, that it's involving a place of ill repute, it's a place of drink, it's a place of wickedness, it's gambling, it could be some horrible sin that's too bad to mention. And so you're driving the automobile, and every day you come home from work and you pass this place that attracts you. Satan's got that plan that way. And every day you go by and the temptation gets greater and greater and greater as you go by this thing that attracts you, whatever it is. There is a besetting sin, you know. And so you go by this place. And every day the attraction is stronger and stronger and stronger, and it's very difficult to just sit and participate because the Spirit of God's in your heart, and you're saying, no, 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 no. But then the more you pass that place, or the place of ill repute, or that sin of drink, whatever it is, that lust, it grows stronger and stronger. And pretty soon, like David did, you see, the Bible says very clearly that he had time on his hands, and then he tarried, and the Bible says he took. Now, it would be better for you to go several blocks out of the way to pass that area up than it would for you to continue to go by that place. Because sooner or later, the devil is going to cause that place to be so attractive that you're going to stop for a while. You may look and jump back in the car, and you go, and then again and again, and pretty soon you get inside. And from there, the wickedness of temptation and the devil, and everybody's faced with the same thing. I'm sure many of you can sit here and think of things that the devil has tempted with you in the past, and you've either fallen or you've taken your stand. So the Bible teaches us these things, and it's consistent all the way through. The Bible teaches us there's three steps that Satan can use. Now, what's the remedy? I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, to the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here's one's walking. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. You walk, you stand, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So that's the way the devil works. And when we know how he works, then we can better combat those things that will help us in the way we live. So blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. This is a pattern that is used, and Satan uses this pattern, and it's very, very clear how he uses this pattern. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, if you will, please. The book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And so you have time, you walk by, and then you sit and participate. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's a pattern that Satan uses to get to every child of God. And when we can see that, then we know how to combat that. And every one of us that's faced with doing things wrong, things against the will of God and the Word of God, and things that the devil tries to tempt us, once you get saved, it doesn't mean that you're no longer a target of Satan. He's after each and every child of God, because when he finds someone he can weaken, well, then it affects others in the same way. So he has a calculated plan for us to fail. And sad to say, many Christians fall for that calculated plan. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that Satan uses the plan of walking by, standing, and participating, and sitting in that way. Now, I want you to notice that David here has time on his hands. He was supposed to go to battle, and he didn't go. It was a time when kings led the armies in battle. But David did not do what he was supposed to do. And when you begin to shirk your responsibilities for the Lord, you're a candidate to fall. And so David stayed at home. And you know the rest. And so Satan has a calculated plan for us to fall. Turn with me, if you will, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And locate verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, and having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we come to the place where we realize if we flirt with that which is wrong, it is going to sooner or later cause us to break down, and that conviction is going to be forgotten. And so we see that David tarried. He stood there and he sinned. He sat down, and it causes death. Now, Satan has a way for each one of us. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that he does everything he can to cause us to fall. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You walk by, you stand, and you participate. The Bible says, do not err, my beloved brethren. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly how to live. As children of God, we must be devoted to God's Word, and we must follow His Word completely. Turn with me to Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly how to be godly and ungodly. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. You take a vacation from the Word, and it leaves open the devil's way to work on you. It leaves open the devil's way for you to fail. It leaves open the devil's way for others to look at you and say, ah, if that's Christianity, I don't care for it. So the Bible is telling us how to live, what to do. We find we have time, we walk, and we sit. We tarry, we stand, and sin. He took, we sit, and that causes death. So the Bible is telling us very, very clearly. Finney said, revival is the renewal of the first love of Christians, resulting in the awakening and conversion of sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I want you to turn with me now, if you will please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible tells us very clearly how to fail. If you want to know how to fail, just look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, but let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive at his will. The devil wants every child of God to fail. He wants us to do things contrary to the word. He wants us to fail because when we fail, then others look at us and they say, if that's Christianity, I do not want any of it. There's a wonderful way to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember Hyman Appleman telling a story about a man that came to his meetings. His name was Walker. He was known by the entire community. He could not speak, and they called him Dummy Walker. Now, they didn't mean anything negative by it. It was just the way people referred to him. And he was a man that people would love in the community. The children loved him, but he just couldn't speak. He could hear, but he couldn't speak. And Hyman Appleman gave an invitation, and this man who could not speak, neither could he hear, came forward in the meeting. And the pastor wondered, how am I going to deal with this man? And he walked down in front, and the Lord gave him this plan. He took his Bible, and he pointed to the Bible and pointed to his heart, and then to the Lord above. And he was saying, the Lord sent the Bible to speak to you so that you, by the word of God, can go to heaven. And the entire people in this particular meeting saw this man, and they realized that this man was standing and he was looking, and they knew him well because the entire community knew Dummy Walker. And Appleman said the man stood there for a while, and then he kind of got excited, and he took the pastor's Bible and he pointed to the Bible and to his heart and up there and like this, and he got a smile on his face, and the entire congregation knew that this man who could not hear, neither could he speak, had received Christ as his Savior. So he got a Bible, and he went throughout that town, and everybody knew him. And that week, Hyman Appleman, I believe the number was 26 people. It was over 20 people that this man who could not speak led down the aisle to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God can use you. The only problem is
He wants us to get started. And the hardest thing in the world to do is to start. So what does he do? He tried to sidetrack us. He wants us to run rabbits. He wants us to do other things that we may feel are more important than telling people about Jesus. But there's not anything more important than being a wise person. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Now, the devil has a trick, and the devil is after everyone that will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. David, a man after God's own heart, ruined his life by putting his feelings ahead of his duty. He ruined his opportunity to be a complete and successful king. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. David came to the place. He repented of his sin. And he prayed, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to know joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, that thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." May I suggest, the next time that sin enters into your life and you cannot go a day without it somehow, temptation is strong. The devil doesn't start bothering us until after we have Jesus. He's got you before, but when he loses you, he wants to embarrass you. He wants others to look at you and point their finger at you and say, "Ah, yeah, he goes to church. But do you know what I saw him doing the other day? Yeah, he goes up there, open door. He's got them all fooled up there, because I saw him." I used to be the associate and song leader for Herb Fitzpatrick in Connersville, Indiana. I called on a man to dismiss in prayer. After I called him to dismiss in prayer, he did. A man came up to me and said, "I wish you wouldn't call on him anymore.
I said, what do you mean? He said, he was playing cards for money out at the shop during lunch break. I walked right over to him. I just took advice from Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. I walked over to him and I said, bud, it's just come to me that you were playing cards for money out at the shop the other day on the lunch hour. He said, oh, yeah, I was. And let me tell you how I did it. He said, I finished eating and I went by and I watched them at the card table and they were just playing for coins and, you know, 50-cent pieces and maybe a dollar or two, and they were playing cards. And the telephone rang and said, one of the fellows had a call sitting there at the table, said, bud, would you take my hand? And he said, I sat down, and I said, bud, you did a bad thing. He dropped his head. He said, you know, I felt that way when I did it, but I went ahead. Because of the pressure, I went ahead, and I said, you ruined your testimony, bud. You see what he did? He walked by, he stood there, and then he participated. If there's a place that attracts you, every time you drive by that place, take another route, go a couple blocks out of the way. Don't let it. You see, sin develops. It creates a thirst. One drink, ask for another, and then another, and then another, and then another. And so here is David's problem. David walked and he stopped and he participated. Sin of looking leads to lust and it leads to a long road back to God. So the Bible is teaching us how to live. I want you to notice the number of times here in Psalm 51 that David used the personal pronoun. Me, my, me, mine, my, me, I. And all of this down through over 20 times, he said, I have sinned. Lord, open thou my lips, my mouth shall show forth the praise of God. For thou desirest sacrifice, else I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. And so David came to the place where he realized that his sin was personal. He realized sin is watching every move he makes. He realized that he must come back. The songwriter put it this way. I wonder, have I given my best to Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree, to think of his great sacrifice at Calvary? I know my Lord expects the best from me. The hours that I have wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wonder to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. And the chorus? How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? The average Christian does not tell his next door neighbor about Jesus Christ. The average Christian does not ever invite anybody to their church. The average church member does not witness
to one person? A day? A week? A month? Or never? May I remind you that in order to be right with God, we must come humbly and we must confess our sins. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly how to live, how to talk, where to go, what to say, how to do it. And we can only walk by. We stand there a while, and then we participate in the wrong things. So the Bible is teaching us there's only one thing, and that's the crown of glory that will be given, and it's the soul winner's crown. And I wonder how it's going to be. I don't know about you, but it scares me to death. It's going to be a one-on-one situation. We must all give an account of the things done in our body, whether they've been good or bad. And Satan has a tactic, and that is for us to walk by, stand there a while, and then participate. You can walk in your mind, you can stand in your mind, you can participate in your mind. And that leads to ruination. And God knows our hearts. He knows all of our deeds. He knows our whereabouts. He knows where we go. He knows all about us. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly, if we're going to be right with God, we need to pray the prayer David prayed when he came to himself in Psalm 51. He used me and my over and over, and I, purge me, teach me. Lord, I'm guilty of blood. Restore to me my salvation. Help me, Lord, to do thy will. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? I wonder about the hours that I've wasted because of my lack of love for Jesus. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wonder to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I've lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they've been good or bad. I don't know about you. That scares me to death. God help us to do proper things to prepare for that moment when we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou will help us. We need Thy Word implanted in our heart. And the final, after we look at our lives, the final question we have to ask is, have I done my best for Jesus? And it comes to, am I living for the Lord? Have I experienced revival in my heart? We thank Thee for the Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not, or standeth not. Help us not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Help us to have our delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in that. Help us to realize that we're looking at people every day that are going to spend a crisis eternity and forever in the flames if we do not tell them about Jesus. What a shame for a relative to die without ever speaking to them about their eternal soul. What a shame for those we work with never to hear from our lips or to receive a tract from us about the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for revival in our time. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves as God looks upon us, and help us to evaluate our ways and our voice, things we think of, the things we read, the things we look at. Guide our eyes. Help us, Lord, to pray daily. Lord, fill us with thy Holy Spirit. We pray that we'll be what God wants us to be. And we pray, Father, that thou will help us never to walk and keep passing that thing. And then help us, Lord, never to participate. And help us, Lord, to take our stand for Jesus Christ, realizing we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they've been good or bad. Now speak to our hearts during this moment of decision, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.